Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, saints of God. Good morning and welcome to a special edition, a Saturday edition of the End Time News Report with the one and only Sister Marie. That song is sung by the Franz family, and the song is entitled God's Unchanging Hand. Aren't you glad that God never changes, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, that his covenants remain unchanging, that what he said he would do? Well, let me have the wife say hello. Come here. Come here, darling. Just say hello to the saints on the phone. Say hello.
Hello, saints.
Okay. You can, she brought me a tea, so I thought it would be nice for her to say hello to the people of God. As you can see, she is quite shy on the broadcast, but let me tell you, when we're not broadcasting, she's a talker. She will tell you. She will tell you what's on her mind, and I know. I've been exposed to it every day of every year since we've been married. And so, bye, honey. See you later. Okay. She popped her head back in the studio to tell me to cut it. Okay, Sister Marie, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
All right. She brought me a tea, and I put her on for a second or two, as you can see.
Yeah.
She was quick.
Yep.
But she told me to cut it. Cut the comments.
Okay, exactly.
Okay.
You got your marching orders already.
That's it. So how you doing today?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing good. I had the procedure done yesterday. And, of course,
yeah.
You know, they had me prepping, and, you know, that's a mess when you're prepping.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So I feel a whole lot better today. You know, it's an interesting thing, and I hope my wife is hearing. The doctor said that I couldn't mow the lawn for 2 weeks. I can't paint anything for 2 weeks. I can't do dishes for 2 weeks. He said the anesthesia is going to linger. So I said, does that mean everything? He says everything. He says the only thing you can do is eat to your heart's content, because eating, especially pies, ice cream, all that reduces the anesthesia effect. So praise be to the Lord. There's a reward after having this procedure done. So for 2 weeks, I'm on the lam. For 2 weeks, I can't lift a finger. So good luck, family. Good luck.
Sure.
So,
sure.
Yeah.
I never heard that when I had that procedure.
Well, listen, it was a
you have a special doctor.
This is a special doctor. He gets the word of the Lord. He's one of those charismatic NARA doctors, you know, with the word of the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
And the word of the Lord was, don't do anything for 2 weeks. So,
you sound like NARA. You're pulling our leg here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, I'm just going by what the doctor said. You know, so we have a show today, and tell us what the show is about, and we can get moving here.
Well, we're going to finish up some news today. We're going to do some news again, because there's so many things out there. I have a show, a big show, that we can probably do in two settings. Set for Tuesday, but so I thought we missed some news last week. Found a few things interesting, so we're going to do one more news show because they're kind of important right now too. You know, in between these other shows. So there's a few things left over from last week, and since Biden had a visit to the Pope, right?
Right.
He went to visit. So I want to look at a few things from last week that I had set up. And this was that we didn't talk about last week. And if you remember, I don't know, you remember Jeff Maples, right? He does Reformation Charlotte. Well, last week, we'll hear from him today, by the way. One of the things he wrote about was there are 10 common bonds between Roman Catholicism and Islam. Now, did you know that? And can I question you on that? because you would know. Probably know this.
Yeah, I'm not a Islam expert by any
mm-hmm.
means. I know that there are some people in apologetics that specialize in Islam. I've never specialized in Islam. My forte is Catholicism. So
right.
I couldn't tell you what the 10 connectors would be or what the 10 similarities
yep.
would be because I don't know Islam. And everything
right.
about everything about Catholicism is just, you know, doctrines of demons. So
right.
now of course, you know, when you look at all cults, right? When you look at all of these different religions, they kind of have the same similarities because, you know, the devil is pushing the same recipe, which is deadly, right? But with different
right.
with different players. So all he does is he switches the names. So I don't know,
that's right.
you know, I don't know what 10 similarities he would be talking about. So I'm interested to hear what he has to say.
Well, I do know a little bit about the Islam because
okay.
I looked at
okay.
that when we were looking at the difference. So, but I know less probably about Roman Catholicism, you know, certain beliefs they have
right,
or
right.
in practices. So that'll work out good here. I think, and I can confirm a few of these
right,
as far
right.
as the Islam part of it, because I have looked at that before, you know, as a cult. Okay, both esteem and honor Mary. Did you know that?
Okay. Well,
both call her Our Lady and venerate her as a pure and holy saint. Both of them do. Mary is mentioned more in the Quran than in the Bible. Did you know that?
Okay. No. I do know that the way Catholicism put a bridge towards Islam was that Our Lady of Fatima, right? Fatima was
mm-hmm.
The Prophet Muhammad's favorite daughter, Fatima.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
I know that the Roman Catholic Church tried to appease the Muslims by naming Mary Our Lady of Fatima. Fatima,
mm-hmm.
Portugal, right? So
yes.
that I do know. That little bit of information I do know, but I didn't know that in the Quran, because I haven't read the Quran.
I don't think anybody's read the whole Quran. That's a Christian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they've heard things because
right, right.
if you remember a few years ago, you know, this was a big thing back after 9/11. People started
right.
to find out a little bit about the religion, you know, say, wait
right.
a minute, who are these people? You know, what is it that they believe? Well, both, okay, that's number one. Both seek messages from apparitions of Mary. So most of the messages say she is coming for all her children, including Muslims. This is the messages they get from Mary, supposedly.
Right, right.
So did you know that? So that would be the
no.
Fatima thing, correct?
No.
Wouldn't that go
well,
along with that?
Yeah. That would line up with that. That would line up with that. It's interesting that the Muslims would put so much stock in Mary. Because you know that
yes.
Muslims basically mistreat their women.
Yes. Isn't that
amazing?
Right?
I think about that. I mean,
yeah.
Muslims, you know, now they'll probably say, no, we don't mistreat them. Well, if you have them where they can't drive and where they can't
right.
Have a phone or play sports or go to school, I think that's mistreatment.
Yeah. On a burqa.
Right? Right,
yes.
and you marry them off at 12 years old, I think
mm-hmm.
that's, you know, to me, that's abusive.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, my baby Madison is 15, and we were talking the other morning, and I was telling her, when you get married, make sure your mm-hmm. husband moves into this house because we ain't letting you go.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly.
You know, that's my baby, you know.
I know.
So I said, no, make plans to live here because I'm not letting you go and your mama's not letting you go. And so, and she's 15, and she says, yeah, but you said I'm going to get married at 40. I said, well, we'll adjust it to 35. I'll take 5 years off from that. So, no, I'm keeping my kids, you know, as
yeah.
long as I can,
yeah.
I want to keep them. So,
yeah,
marrying a child at 12, I mean, my goodness, or even 13, 14, that's criminal.
Yeah.
And to an older
yes,
man. To an older man.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Well, Muhammad himself did that.
Right. Sure.
You know, so they think that's okay because he did it. You know, that's they're following their prophet.
Right, right.
So,
right.
We have to remember Jezebel has lots of children in the book of Revelation. So if you think about it, you know, they're worshiping her too. Okay,
right,
number
right.
three, both are anti-Semitic, believe it or not. And I know this for a fact. The Vatican has issued over 100 anti-Semitic documents and taught the Jews cursed because they killed Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah. That's a given, that they're both anti-Semitic. Yeah. That's that's an easy one.
Yep. And they, you know what's really funny is they refuse most of the time, if you're talking to someone who's Catholic, to realize in their head that the Roman soldiers were involved in this, you know.
Right, right, sure, yeah. They omit that part. They omit that.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, Muhammad said in the Quran there, the last day will come, the last day will not come until the Muslims destroy the Jews, on the other hand.
Right.
You know, so that's their anti-Semitism. That's a part of their anti-Semitism.
Sure.
As far as
sure.
they're concerned. So, okay, embrace another Jesus. Well, we know that.
Mm-hmm.
Catholics have a counterfeit Jesus whose death on the cross was not sufficient to save them. Islam has a counterfeit Jesus. Is that Isa? Who did not die on the cross and is not God, only a prophet.
Interesting.
Now, if I remember correctly, that's who Rick Warren, when Rick Warren did the inauguration for Barack Obama,
okay.
they used that Iza.
Mm.
For him.
Wow. Wow.
That
wow.
was interesting.
Sure.
I heard it when
sure.
he said it. I mean, there's tapes out there. You can hear that. He honored Iza. So, and that's Rick Warren, you know. Okay,
yep.
Both seek world domination. Both religions rule as an autocratic government and have a history of forced conversions and killing those who oppose them.
Hmm.
Correct?
Yep. Yep. I mean,
you would agree with that.
I mean, think about the Inquisition. Think about all the people that they slaughtered. Right,
yep.
because they wouldn't turn to the Roman Catholic Church. And, of course, Islam, I mean, that's what ISIS did, and cutting off the heads of Christians. That's what they're doing now
mm-hmm.
in Afghanistan, persecuting all the Christians that Biden left behind. Those are
yep.
the Muslims doing that now.
Yep, yep.
So
both deny the authority of Scripture. The pagan beliefs of both religions stand opposed to the Bible. Both reject
mm-hmm.
the Bible as the final revelation from God, declaring that God has revealed a final test. Let me read that again. Both reject the Bible as the final revelation from God, declaring that God has revealed the final test. Muslims, the Quran is the supreme authority. Well, we know that. Both use prayer beads to avoid punishment. Catholics pray the rosary to remit punishment for sin. Is that true?
Yes. And that's why they have the novenas. They have the novenas when somebody dies. They have nine nights in which they meet to pray for the deceased person to knock off some time in purgatory, which is a place of suffering.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Muslims use 99 beads that correspond with the names of God. Praying to Allah five times a day is an act of obedience to escape punishment imposed on those who do not pray.
Hmm.
Did you know that?
No.
I thought this was interesting, the similarities.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. Go ahead.
All religions that are salvation by works, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's basically what a cult is. It's an institution, an organization, a religious entity that offers salvation by works, not salvation by grace.
Right.
So all those things are works. We don't
pray to
God.
You know, it boils down
to
that, doesn't it?
Yeah, we don't pray to God to be saved. We pray to God to have fellowship, to talk to him, right? I mean, that's why we pray. We're saved in Christ Jesus. We're saved by what he did on the cross. But I don't save to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already saved when I pray. I pray to talk to my Heavenly Father.
Correct.
So,
correct.
Yeah, that's all salvation by works.
Yep. Both take pilgrimages to obtain favor from God, Catholics for religious purification and the promise of indulgences, Muslims to Mecca, a mandatory religious duty that must be carried out at least once in their lifetime.
Yep.
Correct?
Pilgrimages, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's what turned Martin Luther, the guy who nailed the 95 thesis, because they said, Brother Martin, you know, you're so troubled, you're wrestling within yourself. Why don't you take a little trip to Rome? Why don't you take a trip to Holy Rome? And it will, you know, it will give you faith. And when he got there, he got more turned off because he said there were more prostitutes than priests.
Yes.
Right? I mean, he saw the holy city and he saw what they were doing to people, how people were going up the stairs, the supposed holy stairs and the holy staircase. And they, you know, they put crosses on each one of those staircases and people would walk those staircases on their knees. And when they would get to the next staircase, they would kiss the cross that was there and go up the next staircase and kiss that cross. And he said, all of this is salvation by works. And then he saw the priest ripping the people off with certificates of, you know, granting them years knocked off for their sins. And he just saw it as a business.
Right.
Right? So, So taking that pilgrimage opened his eyes. He says, this is a racket.
Yep.
I'm supporting a racket. I didn't know this was a racket. So he was more troubled.
Yep. Yeah, it didn't help any.
No,
in fact,
it
opened
help.
His eyes. So that's the thing.
Yeah.
It opened his eyes. So
absolutely.
Okay, both
absolutely.
Have human mediators. Catholics rely on the priesthood to dispense salvation through sacraments and seek Mary to intercede God on their behalf. Muslims rely on the intercession of Muhammad on Judgment Day.
Hmm.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And both, here's what you said, both have a works righteousness salvation. To Catholics, sacraments, good works, and obeying the law are necessary for salvation. To Muslims, they believe Allah will place one's good and evil works on a divine scale. Those whose scales are light are those who lose their souls in hell. Interesting, isn't it?
Yep. Well, the same thing when you met the Egyptian god of the dead, he would take your works, put them on a scale. Whole concept of, you know, judgment and putting your works, on one side goes your works, on the other side goes your sins, and everybody knows you don't have enough works to cover your sins, so guess where you're going? You're going to hell for a while. And then, see, the way you get out of there is you buy these indulgences that get you out. So, you know, it's a racket. It goes back to the racket.
Yep.
Right? I mean, that's what that's what it boils down to, money.
All the time. It always
All
ends up like that, works and money.
Yep.
That's what it's
Absolutely.
About. Well, we have 3 billion souls that are caught up in this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good mission field, you know.
Right.
If you can get them out, it's a good mission field. But I found those interesting, and I wanted to check that with you on the Catholic side. I understood that about the Muslims. I think, like I said, we did a look at, you know, Mark knows a lot about the Muslim religion, has studied that. So I think I learned a lot from him on that. But also, you know, after 9/11, I think we all said, you know, who are these people? What's going on? You know,
right.
What happened here?
Right.
And then we took a second look at the religion itself.
Right.
To
and there's
see,
always,
you know, the hatred.
Yeah, there's always been tension. There's always been tension between the Roman Catholic Church and Islam because of, you know, when you study church history, you study the Crusades. Right? And what the Crusades were about. And it was about the Roman Catholic Church trying to take over Jerusalem, which at the time was occupied by Muslims.
That's right.
And and that war that, you know, the 10 different crusades that went on, the 10 different clashes that went on during the Middle Ages. And, you know, and Rome lost, you know, it was a seesaw tug of war between the two.
Yeah.
But then they noticed how the two enemies, the Roman Catholic Church and the Muslims, then teamed up to jack up the Jews.
Yep.
Because, right? I mean, think about it. Today, the reason why the Roman Catholic Church hates the Jews is because they don't want to have a Jewish Jesus, a Jewish Mary, Jewish apostles. They want them to be European. To give the supremacy to the Roman Catholic Church. So they never emphasize, you know, that Jesus was a Jew. They don't emphasize that.
That's right.
And they don't emphasize, when you look at Mary doesn't look Jewish, right? So
that's right. That's a Roman Catholic Mary.
Version of Mary, right. Sure. And, of course, you know, throughout the whole world, everywhere where there's been apparitions of Mary, like, for example, the Mexicans have the Virgin of Guadalupe. Okay, now why does she go from Fatima to Guadalupe? Well, because, you see, they have to give you your own patron Mary. They got to give you a Mary that is like you. So it's adaptation.
Right.
See, to sucker you in, they'll give you your own version of Mary, a hometown version of Mary, right? Like if I had a version of Mary up here, if we had a version of Mary up here, she would look Amish. She would have an Amish hat. You know, Mary would be milking cows. Right? I mean, the Church of Rome is readily willing to accommodate you with your own version of it, as long as you get sucked in to worshiping Mary. They don't care. They'll make her look the way you want her to look in order to make you happy.
That's right.
And because they're deceivers. So, And the main thing is that anytime you find a group giving a lot of play to Mary, you know it's a cult. Because it's not supposed to be about Mary. It's supposed to be about the Son of God, Christ Jesus, our Lord. So that's the bottom line.
Yeah. They always put in a different mediator or a mediator between instead of Christ. You know, I mean, they always have another mediator, whether it be your pastor even. Sometimes they become the mediator or try to.
You know.
So, okay, I have an interesting audio. And I don't want anybody to take this wrong, but this is, it's interesting. It's only 5 minutes and 58 seconds long. And it's called Bonhoeffer's Theory of Stupidity.
Wow.
And we're doing this short. Okay, I mean, I'm interested in this stuff. Call me crazy. Yeah. I don't know. The short audio is a story about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Now, he's the one that, you know, conspired to assassinate Hitler, and he was imprisoned and hung. Well, while he was in prison, he wrote about and argued that stupid people are more dangerous than evil ones. And so this that we're going to listen to is a part of a famous text that he wrote. Now, I don't like the term stupid people here, but I've often considered myself why it is that people are blind when the facts are right in front of them. You know, I know God, you know, it's the Lord who has to open the eyes, anyone's eyes, and I understand that. But he argues that we can fight against evil people, but against stupid people or blind people, the defenseless people, we can't, because any reasoning we have fall on deaf ears. When you're fighting, you get the point. If you're fighting someone who's evil, you know how to fight against that. And we always fight with the Word of God. But you know what I'm saying. But when you're up against someone who's like blind or really, you know, can't see what's right in front of them, it's a hard fight. And we're finding that today. That's why I found this interesting. You know, the facts are right in front of them and they can't see it. So the trouble here, it's the blind who give certain people too much power, then join with that power to go against you. So this is the point being made here by Bonhoeffer. So, and I think I thought it was important for what we're up against today. You know, it's not—it's not the evil. We understand that person and this person, you know, and the higher elites. We understand, but what we're having trouble with is when we're dealing with one-on-one with just regular people who have fallen for program. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I want you to put this in a church setting because we do have some other audio that that will go along with this. This is just not out of the blue that I played this because there's another point that will be made in this. To go along with this. So it's only 5 minutes long, but it's interesting. We'll talk about it when... So that's audio number one.
All right, here it is.
In the darkest chapter of German history, during a time when incited mobs threw stones into the windows of innocent shop owners and women and children were cruelly humiliated in the open, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a young pastor, began to speak publicly against the atrocities that the regime had produced. After years of trying to change people's minds, Dietrich Bonhoeffer came home one evening and his own father had to tell him that two men were waiting in his room to take him away. In prison, Bonhoeffer began to reflect on how his country of poets and thinkers had turned into a collective of cowards, crooks, and criminals. Eventually, he concluded that the root of the problem was not malice, but stupidity. In his famous Letters from Prison, Bonhoeffer argued that stupidity is a more dangerous enemy of the good than malice, because while one may protest against evil, it can be exposed and prevented by the use of force. Against stupidity, we are defenseless. Neither protests nor the use of force accomplish anything here. Reasons fall on deaf ears. Facts that contradict a stupid person's prejudgment simply need not be believed, and when they are irrefutable, they are just pushed aside as inconsequential, as incidental. In all this, the stupid person is self-satisfied and, being easily irritated, becomes dangerous by going on the attack. For that reason, greater caution is called for when dealing with a stupid person than with a malicious one. If we want to know how to get the better of stupidity, we must seek to understand its nature. This much is certain. Stupidity is, in essence, not an intellectual defect, but a moral one. There are human beings who are remarkably agile intellectually, yet stupid, and others who are intellectually dull, yet anything but stupid. The impression one gains is not so much that stupidity is a congenital defect, but that, under certain circumstances, people are made stupid, or rather, they allow this to happen to them. People who live in solitude manifest this defect less frequently than individuals in groups, and so it would seem that stupidity is perhaps less a psychological than a sociological problem. It becomes apparent that every strong upsurge of power, be it of a political or religious nature, infects a large part of humankind with stupidity, almost as if this is a sociological-psychological law, where the power of the one needs the stupidity of the other. The process at work here is not that particular human capacities, such as intellect, suddenly fail. Instead, it seems that under the overwhelming impact of rising power, humans are deprived of their inner independence and, more or less consciously, give up an autonomous position. The fact that the stupid person is often stubborn must not blind us from the fact that he is not independent. In conversation with him, one virtually feels that one is dealing not at all with him as a person, but with slogans, catchwords, and the like that have taken possession of him. He is under a spell, blinded, misused, and is abused in his very being. Having thus become a mindless tool, the stupid person will also be capable of any evil, incapable of seeing that it is evil. Only an act of liberation, not instruction, can overcome stupidity. Here, we must come to terms with the fact that in most cases, a genuine internal liberation becomes possible only when external liberation has preceded it. Until then, we must abandon all attempts to convince the stupid person. Bonhoeffer died due to his involvement in a plot against Adolf Hitler at dawn on the 9th of April 1945 at Flossenbürg concentration camp, just 2 weeks before soldiers from the United States liberated the camp. Action springs not from thought, but from a readiness for responsibility. The ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world that it leaves to its children, Bonhoeffer once said. Check the description below to read Bonhoeffer's original text, After 10 Years. For more information about Bonhoeffer, or to download this video without background music, go to SproutSchools.com.
All righty.
Okay, our liberation is in Christ. We know that. You know,
right.
It's letting him change our heart, and he'll open our eyes. But I want you to think about that in the church setting. What do you think about that in a church setting? Is he correct in that? I mean, we have two types of bad pastors here. You know, those who capture and enslave you for gain on purpose, and those who, you know, you have those who enslave you because they're blind or stupid. you know, the blind leading the blind, so to speak. So what is your thought on that?
Yeah, there is a evil pastor who is stupid, mm-hmm. and there's a stupid pastor who is stupid. Right? Let me explain. Mm-hmm. The evil pastor like Bishop George Bloomer or Master Prophet E. Bernard Jordan, they're evil.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're evil, they fleece people, right? They, I mean, they come on every single day, do their show, and they're not at, listen, they're not asking for $5 or $10. They're asking for $1,000 seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for suckers. Every day they're looking for some suckers. Mindless Christians, if we can even classify them as Christians, who would just send the money. So these guys are evil,
mm-hmm.
and they're stupid at the same time, because what does the Bible say is going to happen to these preachers? They're going to wind up in the lake of fire. So you're stupid. You're just plain stupid thinking that, you know, all this money and all these cars and mansions and planes and all this stuff that you have temporarily, because life is so short here. So you want to live it up in the short period, but you're going to suffer eternal damnation forever and ever and ever. So that makes you evil stupid, because you made
mm-hmm.
you made a very horrible trade, right? You opted for an eternity in the lake of fire. That's what you opted for. Okay, so that's evil stupid. But then you have pastors that are just stupid, in that they're stupid because they don't know the Bible. They get up in the pulpit
mm-hmm.
and they regurgitate stupid stuff, and their congregations are full of stupid people. Now, again, that doesn't leave that pastor off the hook. Why? Because the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're in, James says, don't you know that you teachers shall have a stricter judgment? So you're not getting away because you're stupid. Just like
mm-hmm.
the guy isn't getting away who's evil. If you're stupid, you had no business being in the ministry. You had no business opening your mouth. You had no business leading people because you're just plain stupid. So I see that, there, you know, like you said, those are the two kinds of pastors you have in the church. The evil
mm-hmm.
stupid and the stupid stupid.
Yeah, I found it interesting because people give up their independence, you know, to join the group, you see?
Right.
You know, it's like brainwashing or dumbing down of the group. And cult leaders use this all the time.
It's like...
But go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No. But I found it strange. Also, another thing I found strange with that is the people who are not affiliated with the group mindset do better. You see come out from among them. When you're in this type of group and you're just following people and following things all the time, and you do that, it's you do so much better when you get away from the entire group. When you come out of that yourself. But as long as you're in that, you're just going to follow everything going on in stupidity, you know. I mean, and I hate to, or in blindness. I'd rather say blindness in that because I you know. But actually,
mm-hmm.
you're just going to follow the group. People will just, and they become more dangerous than the leader. Actually, they do of that group because they're, let's say you have one pastor in there and he's bad. Well, if you have a group setting and you have 100, let's say 100 people in the group, and that group all have that mindset and they've been dumbed down and they're blind, that group starts attacking everyone else. That's where they become dangerous. You know, they haven't come out. So they become more dangerous as a group than the evil pastor himself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see? Because now we got a group. And this is, you know, we know that people are going to turn against us in the end times. I mean, we're in the end times. So we understand that people will turn against you. But this group thing that they're doing, and this is not only within the church, it's in everything. You know, it's groups, they're gathering groups and groups of group people who they can dumb down to go mm-hmm. against people within the church. So
right.
I think
right.
there's a good lesson. I mean, you know, the way you survive this is in Christ and you come out of it. If not, you're going to follow the group. It's just, you know, through stupidity or blindness, you will follow
right.
the group if you stay in that group. I think it's important to leave these churches. That's what I'm trying to say with all this. You know?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
if you don't, you're going to follow the group. You're going to do what the group says. I don't care what you say, because the pressure, if you think about it, you have 100 people, let's say 50 people in a room who are agreeing with that bad pastor, and you don't agree and you still sit there, eventually you will agree rather than deal with the group, you know. So I don't know. I think the next audio will go along with this and explain it more, why you need to come out of it. Now this, we have audio number two. And this one says the religious leaders who will hand you over to the state like Judas. Now, this is kind of where I was going with this,
right.
through blindness. Now, this is Jeff Maples from Reformation Charlotte. He's the one who we just, you know, he just did the 10 similarities between Islam and the Roman Catholic Church. And he also has a ministry that does news. And he goes against heretical teaching, and they do missionary work. And he has
right,
a nice,
right.
really nice clothing line, too.
Okay.
You know? Yeah, I think you know some of that line of clothing that
right,
he puts
right,
out.
Right, right.
Make theology great again, things like that. So
okay.
he did an audio to warn against what to expect in the future, especially from church leaders. Now,
right.
what do they hope to gain? He will let you know what they're going to gain out of this. And personally, you know, I think your class in number 40 fits well with this.
Okay. Okay.
So
going back a little bit to a statement that you made, just to give it some support in the minds of our listeners, you said that the stupid people, the stupid followers are more dangerous than the leader himself. And I just want to give
mm-hmm.
an example of that. Charles Manson was the evil leader of the family.
Oh, good
right?
point,
he had a,
yes.
He had a, right?
Yes.
So, but mm-hmm. Charles Manson didn't stab anybody, didn't cut anybody's throat. You know, it was
yes.
his he told his followers, go to this house and just, you know, do these people in.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to numerous houses in successive nights, and they just butchered people. Now, Charles Manson didn't do it. It was the stupid followers. Now, they all
That's
wound
right.
up in jail. They all wound up in jail, but it was his crazed, stupid, moronic followers who became the danger. They're the ones who stabbed the women, a woman that was pregnant. They stabbed the baby. They stabbed her.
Yep.
You know, and that's it. So the stupid followers are really the ones who act out the violence that the leader. Right. So, you know, that was a great point that you just made, that they're more dangerous.
Well, that was a great point you just made, because that's true. That's exactly what I was trying. You know, it's the people who follow them. That's the problem. And I didn't think of that, but you're correct. I didn't think of Charles Manson, but that's a perfect example of what happens when
yeah,
you follow, in stupidity, follow
right.
these leaders.
It's like Hitler. Hitler came up with the big plan to put the Jews in the ovens, but Hitler
right.
did not operate one concentration camp. It was his
yeah.
stupid followers who took
yep.
put these people on trains, brought them to their different locations, and then gassed them. Hitler
yes.
is not guilty. He personally did not gas anybody.
That's
he
right.
He just preached that hate, and then his followers, his stupid followers, ran with it.
Yes.
Right? And they just so stupid people are the ones you need to fear.
Yes.
Because they're the ones who are going to act it out.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? I mean, that's
you said that so much better than I did. I just spelled the
well, you made the point.
The
you made the point. Yeah, you made the point. And I just wanted to give an illustration as to how that works. And that's why you many times you never see the leader when you're about to get it. It's like in the Inquisition, right? In the Inquisition, the Jesuits were following the Pope. The Pope told them,
that's
you never saw the Pope burning anybody at the stake. It was his henchmen.
That's right.
Right? They're the ones who put you on the rack and stretched you out and pulled your arms out of socket, right? They're the ones who did all the cruelties. Now, of course, the Pope wanted it done, and he preached that. But the Pope never got his hands dirty. It was always the crazy people in the name of God, in the name of the Lord, we're going to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those are the people you need to be. Look, Jim Jones. Jim Jones didn't shoot that congressman or the people that were on the plane. It was Jim Jones' people who were shooting up. Jim Jones was at the camp telling the people, hey, let's get ready to drink the Kool-Aid. Jim Jones wasn't even there when all those people got shot up who were trying to get up on that plane, who were murdered.
Yes.
See, so it's the stupid people you need to be really afraid of.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones who are going to do you in.
They'll kill you and think they're doing God a favor, you know?
Right.
That's
the
people within the church. And this is, you know, those are such good examples because, and you think you're dealing with a blind person and logic is, you know, when they are dumbed down and they stay in the situation, they can't see, they're blind to what's happening right in front of them and they become dangerous because they are the ones who act out. You know, they're the ones who act out. And so they're the ones. So I thought he made a good point there, you know, because he lived it.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
He lived
during that time. Sure,
and that's exactly, he was just observing what he saw around him with the people. I mean, you got to think about that. I was thinking about when he said that from that clip, I was thinking about, how is it that in Poland, all the people around these camps or, you know, in Germany and all this, how is it that the Polish, the German people all watched these things happen to the Jews and said nothing? Where did their logic go? Think about it. You had housewives, you had, you know, people who worked every day, just common people. How is it that they watched, you know, good moral people, and yet they watched the atrocities happen to the Jews, and they went along with it, saying nothing? It became something like it was so natural to them that their conscience was seared. I mean, you know, as far as doing anything or saying anything, how is it that people weren't picketing or, you know, rising up? I don't get it. I don't get it. But that's the point he's making. You know, they watched these things happen. These were everyday people like you and I, and they watched these Jews being marched off to death camp and continued on with their life like nothing was going on. What mindset do you have to be in, you know, to not say anything?
Right. Well, look at the leaders of Black Lives Matter. The leaders of Black Lives Matter did not have a hand in burning those stores. The
That's
ones
right.
who burned down the stores were their stupid followers.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Think about the people and on January 6th that stormed the Capitol. Did Trump storm the
mm-hmm.
Capitol? No. Did Pence
mm-hmm.
storm the Capitol? No. Did Secretary of State Mike Pompeo? No. Who stormed? Stupid people.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yep.
Right? Who took a message
yep.
and went too far with it.
And ran with it. Yep.
And so that's why you have to be, you listen, okay, there's somebody there in the pulpit preaching hate, but it's not him you really have to fear. He's not going to knock at your door at your house. He is sending
mm-hmm.
people who are stupid to do his dirty work. Those are the ones you
yep.
need to be concerned with.
Yep.
Because they don't come. They send people,
yeah.
stupid people, and the stupider
yeah.
the stupider the better.
Yeah.
So
anyway, I played that because I thought it was an important something we could talk about
absolutely.
Because we see this
absolutely.
In real life, and I think it's something that, you know, maybe here Jeff will, you know, give you more of an idea what it looks like in a church setting. You know,
Beautiful. What
the game is. So, okay,
right.
It's 13 minutes and 43 seconds, this audio, but it's a good one, and I want you to really pay attention to what he's saying here.
Okay.
Listeners, saints, really listen to what he's saying because there's a lot of information in here. That's true.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Here it is.
We're seeing a growing trend with a lot of religious leaders, especially evangelical leaders, who are beginning to strongly push for the cause of vaccination for COVID-19. Now, disclaimer, if you want to get a COVID-19 shot, that is your choice. I'm not going to try to persuade you one way or the other. That being said, you have to ask yourself the question, why are so many religious leaders and religious organizations coming out in favor of pushing this vaccine on people despite the fact that some people's conscience may not allow them to do so? All right, so you see a lot of people right now, particularly among conservative Christians who are skeptical about the vaccine, don't want to get the vaccine. They're concerned about the ingredients in the vaccine and perhaps the fetal tissue that has been exposed as being used in these vaccines. And we don't know much about the ingredients in these vaccines. Some people just don't want to do it. Some people, it is against their conscience to do it. Yet religious leaders like the Gospel Coalition and the Southern Baptist Convention are heavily pushing the vaccine. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why are they doing this? So John Piper put out an article today. Let me pull that up. He says, a reason to be vaccinated, and he argues that the reason to be vaccinated is freedom. All right, so in this article here, he argues, the people I have especially in view are those who are not vaccinated because of fear of being out of step with people they respect and in step with people they don't admire. His message to those people, he says, you are free. So he's arguing here, it sounds like, that some people choose not to be vaccinated because they're being pressured not to be vaccinated within whatever circles of people they run with. I don't know exactly who he's talking about, but it kind of sounds like he may be hinting towards conservative leaders or alternative news media outlets or, you know, perhaps to a certain extent, even other more conservative religious leaders than himself. Okay, so it sounds like what he's arguing is that, well, you don't have to follow those people. You can choose to get the vaccine if you want to. Now, first of all, there's way,
way more pressure to be vaccinated than there is to not be vaccinated. You have, like I said, people losing their jobs, churches not allowing people to come in and worship without a vaccine passport or, you know, the face mask, the whole thing. It's, for some people, they don't want to do it because they understand that once you give the government that kind of power to coerce you into a medical procedure, that there's no limit. So I put an article out today at reformationcharlotte.org arguing that exact thing, that once you give the power to the government to coerce you into a medical procedure, there's not going to be any limit. What, at that point, is going to stop them from coercing you into having an abortion? Women, particularly. They can put the pressure on the men, too, no doubt about that. But women, especially women in the workforce, what's going to stop them from forcing you to have an abortion? Because let's just be real. The leftists that run this country have long held that abortion is women's health care. They have been grooming the population to believe that abortion is health care since Roe v. Wade. Now, of course, Christians don't actually believe that, but what ground do we have to stand on to argue if they're the ones in power? They're the ones that are making the call. So once we give them the power to force us to take a vaccine, we're giving them the same power to force us to have an abortion, to force us into any other medical procedure they see fit, and at some point to force us to euthanize our elderly because they find them to be a drain on the population. Now, in that article, I pointed out that Nancy Pelosi argued several years ago that the reason she supports Planned Parenthood is because contraception, that's what she calls it, abortion, she calls contraception. Contraception actually helps reduce the strain on government welfare programs. So she's basically arguing that, well, we need to abort as many children as we possibly can because all these children are having a financial strain on our government welfare programs. So let's just kill them, get them out of the way. And what's going to stop them from forcing euthanasia on your elderly parents or forcing euthanasia on your children who may be disabled of some form and are unable to fully function in society? All right, so there's no end to this, and some people recognize that. I mean, I certainly recognize that. You know, my vaccine status is nobody's business, but I'm certainly not going to cave into the medical tyranny that's being pushed on us by the government, and you shouldn't either. So, again, just back to John Piper, why is he pushing so hard, and why is the Gospel Coalition pushing so hard to advance the cause of vaccine? Okay, the ERLC brought up this article here several weeks ago, how Christians should think about religious exemptions for vaccinations, and they argued that essentially nobody should have a sincerely held religious belief against vaccines, that there really aren't any in biblical Christianity, and that really the only people who may have a legitimate exemption would be someone like the Jehovah's Witnesses. All right, so these are the people that are going to be, they're the ones that are going to be handing you over to the tyrants. They're the ones that are going to be, all right, so John Piper, back to John Piper for a minute. John Piper lies in this article, and he spits out this talking point here that nearly all COVID-19 deaths in the U.S. are now in people who weren't vaccinated. All right, so this article came out today. We already know that figure has been debunked. thoroughly debunked. And that number, according to former CDC director, is actually far more closer to 40%. 40% of people who died in Maryland, but it's also, you know, elsewhere, were fully vaccinated, the former CDC director says. Now, this is not just some fly-by-night crazy person. I mean, this is the former, this is the guy who formerly led the Centers for Disease Control, all right? So he comes out and says 40% of these people who died of COVID were fully vaccinated. So then again, why is John Piper arguing these statistics that have been debunked in order to advance this vaccine agenda? And I'm going to submit to you that the reason that they're doing this isn't because they actually care about you. It isn't because they actually care about people. It isn't because they're loving their neighbor. Let's just be real. That's ridiculously stupid. It isn't because people are made in the image of God. It's not because it's a gospel issue. All the other talking points that the Gospel Coalition and Russell Moore and the ERLC have all come up with over the years to try to groom people into following their agenda has nothing to do with that. The reason they're pushing this agenda is because they want to preserve their spot. They think it's going to help them preserve their spot in society when tyranny comes, and they know that it's coming. So they want to be on what they think is the winning side of this. And they think that by pushing all the rest of us under the bus, everybody else who's actually willing to stand up and fight, by pushing you under the bus, they think that they're saving their own butt. That's what this is about. That's it. There's nothing else about it. Because when tyranny comes and they say, all of these conservative Christians stood up against this, it's time to take them out, they can point back and say, no, see that article that I wrote over at Desiring God? Or see that ridiculous article I wrote over at the Gospel Coalition or the ERLC? They can point back at that and say, no, I was on your side. But guess what? They're not going to care. They are not going to care. And if you think they're not going to come for you, John Piper, if you think they're not going to come for you, Russell Moore, they're going to come for all of you unless you renounce Christ altogether. That's how it works. Do you remember what happened in Rome? Do you remember what happened to the Protestant martyrs who went up against the Roman Catholic tyranny, the tyrant of a pope? Do you remember what happened? Do you remember what happened to Martin Luther? Mm-mm. And while this may not be particularly the same kind of a thing, they're going to associate it with Christianity. And Christianity is their ultimate target. Christianity is not just people who want freedom that they're after. They want to silence the church, and they're going to do whatever they can. They're going to take people out as much as they possibly can. You already see it happening. They're pushing people out of their jobs, out of their homes, out of grocery stores all over the world. It's coming to America. It's coming. It's coming, folks. And if you don't stand up now, it's not about the vaccine. I don't care about the vaccine, but if you don't stand up to tyranny now, they're going to take you, they're going to take your children, and they are going to kill us. They're going to kill us because they want to kill Christ. Every communist socialist society in the history of the world has followed the same trajectory. Russia, China, North Korea, Cuba, you know, name it, all of them. Christ and the church is, you know, barring a very small remnant, is almost non-existent in these nations. And that's the nature of it. We're going to go through some tough times, and mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I can't predict what's going to happen. I can't predict if we're going to win or not from a practical perspective. Of course, Christ has already won at the cross, but we're going to go through some really, really hard times, and I hope everybody's prepared. You better tell everybody, warn people, because this is not about the vaccine. This is about the gospel. This is about the gospel. The vaccine is just testing grounds. They want to see who's willing to cave, who's going to fight back, who's going to stand up. Pick your hill to die on. It better be the gospel. Have a good night.
All righty.
That's one of the most interesting, open, honest conversations I've heard on this.
Right.
The bottom line, he's right. It's not going to end. We see this with national health care in England. You know, it started out, and they have a right to your health when you have national
right.
health care. Okay. This is not going to end. It's going to be, okay, you don't get the vaccine, okay, then abortion. Yes, it can lead to all of that. He's
mm-hmm.
exactly right. It's about giving them control over you. And these pastors, they know what's going on. And I'm going to tell you, out of fear, they're hoping for a position. They're throwing people under the bus because they want a position in the New World Order, you know.
Right.
And another thing it's leading to is getting rid of vaccine exemptions. They want a one-world religion. They don't want all these different exemptions for vaccines. And I see that right now. I saw an article yesterday about that. They don't want – they're trying to narrow that gap. Well, okay – you know, because people are fighting back and say no. You know, so what they're trying to do is take an individual religious belief you have and mold you into the group and say, let's say, okay, the evangelical leaders who are throwing you under the bus and saying, well, it's okay, you should get that done, and are pushing for you to allow them to have control over you, they're pushing for that. And so you're going to be lumped into that group with the people and not have an individual right to believe what you want. They'll say, okay, there's no exemption for evangelicals because this leader said so, right? Evangelical
right.
leader. Okay, so let's look at, let's say, the Catholics. Well, there's the Pope says it's okay. So all Catholics, you know, should have
right.
Do what the Pope says. You see what I'm saying? So it takes away from your individual belief or morals and things like that and lumps you in with a group. So let me, what do you think about that? I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah. Again, we have to push back and say John Piper speaks for John Piper. He doesn't speak for me.
Yes.
You know, and when Christians were gathered in the Roman arena, right, and they asked
mm-hmm.
each Christian, they asked them individually. They didn't ask them as a group. They asked them,
right.
do you renounce Christ? And some said,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I renounce him. Okay, you can go. You can go. But the ones
yep.
who said, no, I don't renounce him, they were thrown to the lions. So
yep.
it's going to be – nobody speaks for me. They speak for themselves.
Right.
John Piper doesn't speak for all of us. He speaks for himself.
Yeah.
Unlike the Roman Catholic Church where you – and, in fact, when the Pope speaks for everybody, people say, I don't care what he says.
Mm-hmm.
When the Pope says do this, most people ignore the Pope because they look at
yeah.
him as antiquated and stupid and, you know, out of touch. When the Pope says – President Biden or President Trump, why don't you
mm-hmm.
open up the border? Well, I say to him, why don't you open up your borders? Why don't you
right.
let illegal aliens into the Vatican City? when you open up your brain, see, so it's in, it's an individual thing. We all,
and they're trying to change
brains.
That right now. They're trying to change
and
lump us.
Right.
In
and
the
we
group.
Have to say, no, I have my choice. You have your choice. Roe v. Wade was you were fighting for women's choice. Now you're taking away our choice. In China, they don't let you have but two children. They've taken away your choice. And they can't be girls. They've taken away your choice. No girls and only two. So what are you going to have, a gay population? What are you promoting, gayhood? Because who are these guys going to marry in China if there's no girls being born? Who are they going to marry?
Right.
So, again, sorry. Not happening.
So
we have to fight back.
It means we're going to have to take a stand. Yeah, we got to take a stand.
People are going to have to say, John Piper doesn't speak for me. In fact, I wish John Piper wouldn't speak at all because he's stupid.
Exactly.
That's all. And you have to, you have to say it that way so that people can, don't put
clearly
us all
understand.
In a group. And you see, you need to talk that way so that John Piper understands that he's losing favor with the people he claims to be leading. Well, you don't lead me.
Mm-hmm.
Christ leads me.
But you can see us heading towards a one world religion because they're trying to, narrow this down and saying, okay, well, this group agrees. So what they're doing is they're using different leaders like that to bring you in under a one world religion, under a one world mindset. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way they're doing it. I mean, if you look at Paul, I was thinking about this when I was listening to that. He completely understood that being a servant of Christ meant physical death. He knew that, he had made up his mind. He knew that by laying down his body, means receiving, that he would receive his spiritual body. He knew that. That's how his ministry was, he constantly prepared himself for physical death. That's, you see that all through the scriptures with him. He had his mind made up. That's what's going to happen, and he just preached the gospel. During it. But he lived like that.
Yeah. And again, everybody has to stand up and say, nobody speaks for me. I speak for myself.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the election, when you go into the election booth and they pull the little curtain behind you, you are speaking for you.
Right.
So the same way you have that individual vote, don't let anyone speak for you on the issues that affect you. Speak for yourself and tell the people, you know what? I'm pulling the curtain behind me and it's none of your business. It's between me and my doctor or me and my wife, me and my children. We've made a choice. Right? Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Whatever you decide to do in your house, that's your business. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right? Noah and his family got into the ark. Everyone else made the choice not to get into the ark. Okay, so you made your choice. You made your bed. Now lie in it. Right? That's it. Everybody gets to make their choice. There were two thieves on the cross. One decided to give his heart to the Lord. The other one decided to call Jesus names. Okay.
Yeah.
They both made their choice. You see? That's the Bible. The Bible is about individuals making choices.
Yeah.
And no one gets
this
to make
that choice.
This is
where that group mindset, that audio, about the
correct.
You see how that comes into this. I mean, it's exactly, that's it. That's what I was trying to put together with this, is that the group mindset, the individual does better. you see,
mm-hmm. right.
when they're with the group.
Sure.
So.
Sure. Absolutely. That's it. So, yeah, you got to push back. You got to push back, and you got to say, Mr. Piper, you decide for you. Don't decide for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And don't give me the okey-doke that this is, you know, Christians who are not getting vaccinated, blah, 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 or shut up. Just listen. Stop talking stupid. You sound moronic. In fact,
yep.
for Mr. Piper, we're going to resurrect the word, and the word is retard. Stop talking retarded. That's it. And when you talk
exactly.
that way, when you mush them in the mouth, when you shut them, because Paul says to Titus, he says, those who speak falsely, rebuke them sharply. See, you have to
yep.
hit them hard. You have to hit
yep.
them hard. You see, because they don't respond unless you hit them hard.
That's right.
And you got to say, hey, Mr. Piper, are you losing your marbles? Mr. Piper, listen,
mm-hmm.
What's going on with your brain cells? See, you yep. have to, you have to, and people say, well, that's not Christ-like. What do you mean it's not Christ-like? Didn't Jesus call them hypocrites?
Right.
I mean, Jesus
right.
mushed them in the face. Oh, brother, I
right.
wouldn't use, shut up, you're a sissy. Stop being a sissy.
Yeah.
This thing called apologetics is called contending for the faith. You got to, listen, you got to hit
that's
them
right.
hard.
Yep.
And that word moron, I love that word moron. I love that word retarded. I love those words.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and they come out of my mouth fast and furious.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah,
when
gotta,
I see one in
you
action.
You can't be a group. You can't follow the group at this point at all. You have
no.
to be an individual thinker at this point, a logical thinker, and you have to contend. So against these things, if not, you know, those things are going to happen. Once you give them control of your
mm-hmm.
body, your mind,
right.
your possessions, it's we're done. So
that's it. That's it.
We are
it's
done.
All over.
So our next audio, I want to play audio 3 because I'm going to give you an example of a pastor who's doing that. And I want you to think about what Jeff just said.
Mm-hmm.
These pastors are doing this out of fear for themselves. If you have a pastor doing this, he's fearful for himself. Who wants to
right.
follow a pastor who's afraid? That afraid that he'll turn people over
mm-hmm.
to the enemy
right.
to cover his own backside. You know, who
mm-hmm,
wants
mm-hmm.
to who wants to follow someone like that? Not me. So I'm going to give you an example of a pastor who's doing this. And I want you to tell me, bro, if you recognize who this is.
Okay. Let's see
because,
who this is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Get your vaccine. They've all been approved. And so make sure your grandkids and your kids.
Who approved them? Who approved
exactly.
the vaccine?
Exactly. No one. Nope.
The vaccines have not been approved. They
exactly.
haven't gone through the clinical trials that things go through in order to get truly approved. They've been rushed.
Exactly.
But that doesn't
mean
they've been right. They've been rushed and they've been pushed and they've been marketed and but they have not been approved.
Exactly.
And this is why listen, this is why firemen in New York City are not taking many 30% of the fire department has not taken the vaccine. 30% of the police
yep.
department. Nurses have not. Doctors and nurses haven't taken it. 30%.
Mm-hmm.
People who work in the what do they call that the guards at the prisons, what they call that again?
Security?
There's a name for it. Another name. Anyway, that branch of law enforcement that works in prisons, 30% mm-hmm. haven't taken it. This is why in a couple of days they're all going to walk out. They've already told us here in New York that if 30% of the police officers walk off the force or 30% of the fire department walks off the force, if you get a heart attack, let's say you call 911, if you get a heart attack, it would take them 3 minutes to get to your house. Now it's going to take them 11 minutes to get to your house. And at 11 minutes,
yep.
you're dead. You're dead.
Yep.
If
yep.
30% go walk off the force. So you see,
yep.
again, no, people have made the choice not to do it, not to take the jab, because it has not been approved. It has
right.
not.
Well, this pastor is using emotional blackmail and manipulation to get people to take it.
And I don't know who this guy is. He's African American, but I don't know who he is. But
I thought you might recognize him.
No, I don't know who he is. It says Tabernacle or something on that thing there, but I don't know who he is. Okay. Let's hear him.
Get your vaccine. They've all been approved. And so make sure your grandkids and your kids are taking care of themselves. Let them know if you want to come see and visit me, you need to handle your business. That's right. If you want to come and get this birthday money I got for you.
Well, that's what New York City's doing. New York City's saying if you come and get the vaccine, they'll give you $100.
Oh, yeah. There's a million-dollar lottery here.
Yeah, sure. sure. Yeah, if you want. Sure. Grandpa, you know what? Grandpa, keep your $5 birthday money. Because from what I can see, this guy sounds like a cheapskate to me. I'm going to be moved for $5. Please, Grandpa, keep your $5.
Right.
If you want this birthday money. Listen, how do you know that your grandchild will not have another birthday if he takes the vaccine? Because nobody knows what
right.
this stuff does to the kids.
But he don't care. See?
Right.
He's worried
right.
about his position in the New World Order. This pastor... He's throwing all those people in that congregation and their grandchildren under the bus.
Listen, this guy is stupid.
Blackmail,
manipulation. If you want this birthday money, please, Grandpa, keep it.
Yeah.
Keep it.
Pretty
keep
sick.
It, Grandpa. Right.
Yep.
That's right. You want to come and get this birthday money I got for you? If you want to come and eat this Thanksgiving meal I'm preparing for you, if you want to come and get these Christmas gifts I've been ordering for you, you need to take care of you. Amen.
And look at the people. Amen. We agree.
Yep.
We agree.
Yep.
Fools.
Yep.
Fools. Keep your Thanksgiving turkey. Keep your Christmas gifts. I ain't seen. In fact, when they ask me who my grandfather is, I'm going to play stupid because I would be ashamed to name you as my grandfather.
That's right.
Please.
That's right. Isn't that awful?
That's extortion.
But see,
that's extortion.
Yes. That's exactly
right?
what Jeff just spoke about, these pastors,
and the Bible says,
what they're doing.
And the Bible says extortioners will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Exactly.
No.
Exactly.
No. This is crazy talk.
Yep. And they're amening it.
Get them where it hurts.
Hit them where it hurts. Hit them
where it
hurts. What?
That's what they're saying. Yeah.
Please. Please.
What a
Please.
Sellout that guy is.
Please.
I wish I could find who he is because there was nothing. No description of what church he was the pastor of, but because I found out, I would announce it. Say, don't go there, run, run.
Right, right. Well,
this
it doesn't look like
terrible.
It doesn't, yeah, it doesn't look to me like he's got anything really going on. He's got a traditional dying church. That's what he's got going on, a traditional dying
mm-hmm.
church. No, this is this.
Right.
And if that's his word of advice, can you imagine what his sermons are?
Oh yeah. Ooh, yuck.
Can
yuck.
You imagine what those things are? Awful.
Yep.
Awful.
Awful. I mean, you know, so I just gave you an example of what Jeff spoke about there. You know, that was the whole thing about the pastors throwing people under the bus out of their own fear and wanting their own safety, and they're going to be thrown under the bus themselves. They're not
right.
going to, they're doing all this. They're conning, manipulating their people, thinking that they're going to fare well in the end, and they aren't. And
right.
it's going to happen to them. It's
Listen.
Absolutely going to turn on them.
Listen, it's not that you or I are anti-vaccine. What
no.
you and I are against is choice, right? These
no.
people want to take away
exactly.
your choice. And we're saying no. Let
yes.
me choose what I want for myself. Let my wife choose what she wants. Let my, right?
Yep.
Don't take away my
leave
choice.
Leave us alone.
Exactly.
Yes, leave us alone.
That's it.
That's
and you know
that's
when you look
saying.
Back when you look back at everything that's happened, you got to say to yourself, "This was all planned."
Yeah.
This wasn't China.
Yep.
This wasn't these. Listen, this all of this was planned.
That's right.
Because look at the amount of people that they don't have to give Social Security checks to health
yep.
care to. I mean, how many people were just wiped away? I mean, just dead over this thing, right? And then,
yep.
and again, I'm not against the illegals. I'm not against the people crossing the border. But these people
right.
come in, no vaccine necessary. No mask necessary.
Right.
Wait a minute. You want me to put two, Dr. Fauci wants me to put two masks on, not just one. But the illegals, they don't get to wear a mask. They don't have to get the jab. In fact, you want to give the ones who were separated at the border 450, you want to give them close to $500,000? Are you kidding me? When am I going to get $500,000?
There's no logical thinking in this. And the group,
no.
do you see, the group, follows whatever
right.
where they're being led, and you know
it's
you need
hard,
to
it's horrible.
It's heartbreaking. Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
So no, we're gonna think for ourselves again.
Yeah.
I went to visit the church where my friend passed away, the pastor that passed away. We went
mm-hmm.
last month at you know after she passed
yeah.
away. We went. And the people there, many of the people there are elderly. They're vaccinated. I didn't
mm-hmm.
get up and said, oh, get your vaccine or don't get your vaccine. I didn't say either
right.
way. That was
no.
not my message. My message was
no.
was completely from the Bible. It's none of my
yes,
business. Now, you know, I know that some of them said to me, I got the vaccine. Oh, well, you know, if that was good, if that's what you
yeah.
yes, that's what, okay, good, good for you. Now, they didn't ask me if I
yep.
had the vaccine. But if they
yep.
had asked me, I would have said, no, I don't want to get it. And
that's
my
right.
personal choice. Well, brother, you
mm-hmm.
you know, you can't come back. That's fine, too. Because I'm only coming
right.
here for you. I'm not coming here for me. I'm coming here for you.
There's,
you don't want me to come back because I don't have the vaccine? No problemo. I won't be back. Right?
They're splitting.
It.
Part of the Southern Baptist I saw, the ones who have remained, you know,
right.
and haven't gone independent, the churches,
right.
they're dividing the worship section now, the vaccinated on one side, the unvaccinated on another for worship.
Right.
Think Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sure.
It's just this constant division. It's going from
mm-hmm.
now on. It's constant dividing, dividing,
mm-hmm.
dividing. It's just going
right.
to happen like that till they narrow it down. Who's who?
Right.
Where's the church? And you'll end up with the church, you
right.
know, on one side. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
sure.
Well, here's a story here. In England, the doctors or the GPSs are fighting against having to see patients in person now. They feel it's
right.
discrimination. They've threatened industrial action. Now, that's a lawsuit or, you know, strike, thing like that.
Right.
You know, different things like that. If they're
mm-hmm.
forced to see their own patients. Now, remember, they have national health care there. And
right,
your
right,
health care
right.
is not free. National health care is not free. It comes out of your paycheck the same way taxes do
right,
over
right,
there.
Right, right, right.
So
right.
you have to, you know, it comes out right out of your paycheck. So, you know, what kind of care are you going to get from a doctor who, you know, gets a flat rate pay anyway, you
right,
know, from the
right.
government to work? Because that's what they do in national health care.
Sure.
And that's why we're going to lose doctors, because they're not going to settle over here for just, you know, a certain pay for no matter how many patients they see.
Correct.
So they want to stay home. They want to stay home. Imagine that.
Sure.
Imagine that.
Sure.
So,
well, everyone else is staying
you know,
home, right? Everyone, stay
yeah.
home. Stay home. So they want to stay home, too.
Yeah,
they want
these
to stay
virtual
home too.
Visits are a part of that. It's not about the disease. It's about, you know, them staying home, you know, keeping you away from different people, you know. This whole thing is they want to keep you, like you and I, away from speaking about this. This is the whole thing, or objecting to this. And
right, right.
when people gather, and that's why they're doing it, that's why the pubs in England where people gather and speak, or, you know, they have their birthdays, they have all, you know, kinds
mm-hmm.
of things going on in the pub over there. They've, you know, put them in little boxes. They have to be vaccinated. They have to have vaccine
mm-hmm.
passports. You
right.
know, they're doing all that to keep people separated. But yet they're drawing you into some of the churches in there to sit and listen to these. You have to, you know, get the vaccine and stuff. I mean, it's crazy.
Oh.
You have to look
sure.
at all sides of this.
Right.
So, and we have another story. Beth Moore's daughter, Melissa, has come into the church world. I mean, she's been in here for a while. And now she's attacking John MacArthur for his biblical view on sexuality. So over the past few months, the gay Christians, that's an air quote
mm-hmm.
people, are joined with daughter and mother, that's Beth and her daughter, to go
mm-hmm.
after MacArthur. Joining them is Nate Collins, and he's from Revoice. Now, Revoice
mm-hmm.
is a gay Christian movement. Again, air quotes. We know that doesn't exist. Earlier this year, Melissa Moore, she affirmed a lesbian priest launched a tirade against biblical womanhood, joined hands with gay activists, refused to denounce homosexuality as sinful, and she's doing so. She said doing so is exceeding scripture if you talk against homosexuality. So she joined the chorus on denouncing white people, and she's white, by the way, assuming
right.
the worst from white men. She promotes unity with Joyce Meyer and is spending time in God's Word. She said spending time in God's Word is not the same as spending time with God. God and His Word are one, by the way, just saying.
And
she,
what does God say? I'm sorry. What did Jesus say about the Word? He said in reference to the disciples, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word
yes.
is truth.
Is truth.
That's how we get
yes.
cleaned up. in the Word.
Mm-hmm. So
right?
Watch out for her because she's an influence, you know. You know, I did that story just as a warning to watch out for her because she's, you know, a lot of people thought Beth Moore was actually, you know, she crept in through Southern Baptist Church, you know, and
mm-hmm,
people
mm-hmm.
were against her from the beginning, but no one would listen.
Right.
You know,
right.
And she really, she's popular with
thing.
Women, and I don't get it.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I didn't even know until you stated what you just stated about Beth Moore's daughter. I didn't even
mm-hmm.
know Beth Moore had a daughter. So as far as I'm concerned, she doesn't exist. And now that
mm-hmm.
I do know that she does exist, she still doesn't exist because she's talking out of her ear, right? And no one talks out of the ear. Everybody talks out of their mouth. So she's retarded. She's got her head screwed on wrong. And when you have your head screwed on wrong, you speak out of your ear. So she's a talking donkey as far as I'm concerned. And there are no talking donkeys up here. Where I live, there's no talking donkeys. Only in the church do you have talking donkeys.
Exactly.
Right?
So it's always the church.
Always in the church. Always in the church.
Yeah. Well, she's a low-hanging fruit there, and that doesn't fall far from the ground, low-hanging fruit. So I just warn you because, you know, these Bible studies, I don't know what it is about Beth Moore that these women love in Bible studies, but, I've said that about her for a long time, but you know, with her daughter in there now, she's probably in there to get the younger women, the younger generation of women.
Of course. But you know, MacArthur's not listening to that little twit, whatever she has to say.
He told her to go home.
Nobody in their right mind is listening to that little twit. Please. See, now you got me all cranked up. Now today you got me all cranked up. I'm going to be outside saying twit and moron and retard. And my wife's going to say, what does Sister Marie do to you today that you're all, you know.
He'll say, stay off the phone with my sister.
But I have to calm down because she's going to say, but wait a minute, didn't the doctor say that for 2 weeks? You were going to be, so I got to play it cool. I got to control myself, see? I got to do that
because
I'm going to give it away.
Isn't there a song, The Great Pretender?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I remember that. When I was a kid, I remember hearing that song, The Great Pretender.
Sure.
Okay. So we're going to go to audio 5. I'm skipping audio 4 because we won't have time for it. So we're going to audio 5. Todd Bentley is back, and he fakes a pirate, you know, voice while performing
a fake
healing.
He fakes what kind of voice?
Pirate.
He fakes what kind? A pirate, okay.
Pirate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oi.
Okay, all right. Does he have an eye patch and a wooden leg?
No.
Because he has a wooden head. He has a wooden head. So.
He doesn't have a wooden leg. He pulls legs.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Okay, let's play this.
Tingling right now. This is the gift of healing. Oral Roberts would have the gift of healing come. He'd feel it in his shoulder and go all the way into his hand. That happens to me only when the angel comes. You see, whoever I get around, the angel will start doing stuff. God's doing this, not us.
Pirate.
So God, may he be released into a realm of creative miracles and visions of God and know how to work with the miracle angels. Boom! And take out the metal all the way. Never let it swell up again. And let it never be in pain again. In Jesus' name.
He's talking like that pirate in SpongeBob.
Exactly.
You know the pirate that comes on to be SpongeBob? Yeah, that's what he sounds like.
Probably what he was watching. I recognize the music right away in the background.
Right.
The name of that song is "What Do We Do with a Drunken Sailor?"
Okay.
And then it says again, "What do we do with a drunken sailor early in thy morning?" Hey. You know?
Right.
And I'm listening to that, and I thought, I know that song from being over
But that's not part of the church service. That's what Charlotte, Reformation Charlotte put in there, right?
Yes, exactly.
Right. Okay, let's listen.
He didn't say the song, but I knew it.
Right. Here it is again.
Tingling right now. This is the gift of healing. Oral Roberts would have the gift of healing come. He'd feel it in his shoulder and go all the way into his hand. That happens to me only when the angel comes. You see, whoever I get around, the angels start doing stuff. God's doing this, not us.
Pirates.
So God, may he be released into a realm of creative miracles and visions of God and know how to work with the miracle angels. Boom! And take out the metal all the way. Never let it swell up again. And let it never be in pain again. In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
What do you do with a drunken sailor? I love it that he put the song.
Captain Stoop. His name is Captain
Erly.
Stoop. Short for
it's
Captain Stoop.
It's called Erly in thy morning.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, he's back on. Back on the scene for how long, who knows.
Making money, making money is what it's about. Making money. It's about the cash of Rooney. It's about the cash.
Sure is. I'm telling you. Okay, China drafts a law, parents, for children's bad behavior. This includes children who commit crime, and the bottom line, they contend it's lack of or inappropriate family education is why the children go bad.
I see.
Wow, their special concern is blind worship of internet celebrities. They don't want any outside influence because they're brainwashed over there.
Sure.
So
absolutely.
They don't want them listening, especially the younger, to any celebrities over there, which I would recommend myself. But, you know, think about it. Your child gets in trouble or has bad behavior. They're coming after the parent. That's terrible.
Sure.
That's terrible. Because, you know, when kids get older, they can do things.
Right.
And you're not responsible for them, what they do.
Right.
But they're making the parents responsible. So, listen, if you follow this agenda, this is where we're headed. This is what we're headed, the kind of government.
Yep.
Another news story. Israel denouncing, Israel demanding answers after Biden quietly removed sanctions on Iranian missile companies. So he's removed sanctions on Iran.
Crazy.
And Israel's really upset. Now, why would he do that? Is it to go after Israel? I think so.
Yep.
I think so. Yep, the land. It's about the land, and it's about money, and it's about the oil. Oil. Think about it. So, you know, that's what they're about. They're the money-hungry people there. Okay, now, I saw you sent me an audio clip of Bloomer there, you know, and he prophesying, you know, invest in this and invest in that or whatever.
Right.
But food prices will go up tremendously.
Right.
And this is from the billionaires themselves.
Right.
They're already predicting this. They're not predicting. They're telling you no way are they going down. And you should be seeing that right now.
Absolutely.
Okay. I talked about that Vigano, whatever it is, that Catholic archbishop, is he? I think. I'm trying to remember this story. I talked about him, and he did something calling, he called the Pope the Antichrist, you know, and said he's a servant of the New World Order. He went against him, and I listened. He's an archbishop. I listened to him, and I think what he has to say is extremely interesting. However, it was all pushed towards the Catholics. What he's saying is correct, but he's incorrect because he's promoting this to Catholics. And we know that religion is wrong. So not only does he need to, you know, speak about the things that he knows that's happening in the Catholic Church, he needs to tell the people and himself to get out of there.
That's what I'm trying to say.
He does say in this audio that this is a big Jesuit Freemason organization that's pushing these agendas. And I agree with that. I agree with that. So he spoke openly and everything, but you have to remember he's already in an apostate church, and yet he's warning about apostasy, you know?
Yeah.
So
sure.
I wasn't sure it was worth the time to go in and, you know, do anything about it.
That's like,
you know,
a demon warning. Yeah, that's like a demon warning us about doctrines of demons.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a really good point, but that's exactly what it is. So, yeah, crazy. You know, we have a lot of crazy things going on, and you could go on and on and on with what I see. All I can say is you need to think the opposite of what you read in the news. You know.
Sure.
You really have to think the opposite, because everything's promoting something else, a different agenda. I have another thing, because I think I have time for one more story. John MacArthur beats up Ed Litton over plagiarism scandal. And now there's a clip on it. There's a clip on it. And what John MacArthur says is correct. He calls it lazy, incompetent, and unsanctified. Now, Ed Litton had taken over as the new SBC president.
Right.
He was voted in. And then he was kicked out for plagiarism. You know? In other words, he stepped down. And then he said it was wrong, but then he's defending himself. So MacArthur is naming names. And I like that now, because he was a little hesitant on naming names for a long time. But this is true. What he's saying is true. Litton, who's the head of the SBC, was lazy to do that. He was incompetent and unsanctified. And I think that that goes along with what you're teaching about gold standard teaching. That's not it. And I think MacArthur agrees with you, according to your own audio. Which was great that he did, by the way.
Yeah.
That was a fantastic audio. And I'm not 100% MacArthur fan, but I'm not against him in any way.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I might have a few minor issues.
Sure. Listen, we've done 41 classes at the Bible school, 41 outlines. And the outlines, of course, are my original outlines. But the statement in those outlines, by design, because I see, one of the things about the outlines is I want people to see how many books I've read, right? So that if you get 25 quotes in a book, you know that I have read I've consulted 25 books, even though I may have consulted 100 to 75 books.
Yeah,
and these are the best quotes that I found for the students,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I'm just going through
That's
many,
different.
Many, many, many books. Right, right. But you see, but
That's
I
different.
Give credit to those
yeah.
comments. I tell you where they can be found. I, you know, so you have to. You can't be stealing stuff and claiming it's yours. You
can't do a sermon. You would never go up there and do a sermon. This is the whole point. You wouldn't do a sermon, and it's a sermon that five other people have bought off the Internet. That's
right.
the difference. Quoting scholars is one thing, but standing up and doing a sermon and quoting it word for word and going back and finding five other pastors have done that, and the same sermon word for word, do you see what I'm saying? That's totally
mm-hmm.
different. Than
right.
quoting a scholar in a book, which I find fascinating. I think we need to do that. We need to get all views on things, you know, from the scholars,
yeah.
the different views.
Yeah. Listen, not only do I have to read all those books, but then I type them out. I don't have somebody
yeah.
here typing. I do the typing.
Exactly.
If that outline
totally
is
different.
15 pages, I typed all 15 pages.
Yeah,
right?
That's
so you
totally
have
different.
To. Yeah, you see, you have to work hard to deliver gold
yes.
standard.
That's right.
I'm going to deliver the gold, and then you're a bum.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not a bum. I look at all the research, and, you know, when you stack up all those outlines, if the students have printed all 41 outlines and there's still 9 more to go, I mean, you have a
mm-hmm.
massive, massive binder. With notes
right.
on every wonderful subject that we've covered, and but in all of those outlines, I tell you where we got this stuff from. You don't plagiarize. You don't steal someone's writings and then make them yours.
And it was a really bad sermon anyway, you know.
Right. Sure. And that's the other part.
They plagiarized.
I mean, you plagiarize somebody, and then and you stink anyway. You
yeah,
stink.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, it was terrible.
No.
It was
yeah,
terrible.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
As,
you know, yeah. I always go up and look at different views and stuff after I get it in my own heart. For me, I want it in my own heart how I feel about it. I always go
right.
up and say, okay, wow, I see it this way. And I really get the scripture set in my own heart and understand what it means. And then I go up and might look at a few scholars to see how they felt or if anybody agrees. And normally,
right.
if it's right, if I felt that and that's right, I got that. I feel good because I got that from reading it myself first, you
right,
know.
Right, right, right.
And
right.
then you see where someone agrees on that. You know, where they have agreed to it. And that's a great feeling to know that you understood
sure.
that the same
Absolutely.
Way they did.
Absolutely.
You know, that you were able to
yeah.
exegete that with the Holy Spirit behind you, you know, and then you read a scholar and you say, wow, you were right. It's a confirmation. And you look at
mm-hmm.
another one and you say, wow, they agreed with that too. And sometimes you may totally have a different feeling on it. And I'm sure there's somebody out there that may have agreed with it, what you found in it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Right.
Anyway.
Right.
Anyway.
Well. Great show. Great show. And thank you for, you know, riling me up. But now I gotta act sedated and I gotta act loopy in order to, you know, milk.
I hope she's been listening to you. I hope she's been listening to you. She knows you better than that. Come on.
Yeah, but if she's been listening, I'm still gonna take the 2 weeks off because I want to be like that plagiarizing pastor. I'm gonna, you know. So, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna show
yeah.
her, you know, what it would be like if you had a bum husband. Just as an
sure.
example, this is what you would have if you had a bum husband. So great show.
Right.
And of course you have the
Thank
last
you.
Word.
Well, I think we're out of time, but we'll see you Tuesday. Have a wonderful week, Saints. Bye.
Yeah.